looks again to the sideline. Batted up. Oh, God! Stokely down the sideline. Can they catch him? Stokely. Wow! Touchdown, Denver. Unbelievable. Oh, my goodness. What a play. 87 yards.
Welcome back to the Broncos TV Live pregame show. A lot of Bronco fans certainly remember that play right here in Cincinnati. Brandon Stokely, in fact, remembers it. He tweeted at us at Broncos TV saying that he certainly remembers that great day in 2009. That won a low-scoring game. Probably going to see a little bit more scoring here today.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think the Broncos don't want to see that from the Bengals, but Andy Dalton comes into this game as the top passing quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, no surprise really that he's taken the next step. I mean, he was on his way to probably his best season last year before he got hurt late last year. Might have derailed even a potential Super Bowl run for the Bengals. I mean, you hate to think about that considering the Broncos won, but they weren't quite the same with A.J. McCarron under center. Now he's back. He and A.J. Green have the chemistry they've always had. They're working in a rookie, Tyler Boyd, in the slot, and he's got good chemistry with him. And because of that, they've been able to overcome the free agent loss of Marvin Jones and Mohamed Sanu, and of course the lingering injury for Tyler Eifert, who finally returned to full practice this week but is still doubtful for today's game.
Yeah, and you would expect, though, the Bengals to get that running attack and more involved than they have. Jeremy Hill, hey, Broncos fans, remember what he did here on Monday Night Football 2 years ago. Him and Giovanni Bernard have only had 30 touches so far this season. The Broncos know that when it comes to stopping the Bengals, you got to consider the run first.
They take their shots downfield, man. They run a lot of seams and give him opportunities to make big plays. So he hit on a lot of big plays. I just block all that out. I just kind of play football. Once you start thinking, oh, they pass heavy, they'll come out and run for 200 yards on you. You know what I'm saying? So you just got to read your keys, play football.
It's going to be a tough matchup. Every time we play them, they've had a good run game versus. So we got to be able to shut down the run first. And if we can do that, we can be able to make a lot of plays in the passing.
We know that they want to run the ball. You know, they have a good back. They have good old linemen to run the ball. So you know, we got to be on guard. It's just like last week. Every team wants to establish a run, so we got to be on point with that.
And that Broncos secondary hasn't had to cover for long this season because of guys up front rushing the quarterback. Von Miller leads the NFL with 4 sacks. He looks a little bit more focused this season. You can tell something a little bit different about Von.
Well, not just focused, but I think he's more lithe and limber. I actually think the Dancing with the Stars, you know, weeks that he had helped him because, you know, he looks, you know, more agile, if that's possible, given what he was before. He also said something interesting as well. He said that the dancing experience helped him because it forced him to spend 6 hours a day on one thing, and one thing that he admits he wasn't really very good at when he started out. And he mentioned, you go through football, a football day, you're on the field for practice field for a couple of hours, you're lifting weights for an hour, you're doing all these different things for different parts, but the ability to focus on one thing for a long stretch of the day, he feels like has helped him. It kept him in shape, certainly, and now look where he is, leading the league in sacks, and he's on a blistering pace going back even to last year's playoffs.
Not only is the pace impressive, Mace, but also just the timing of the sacks. It seems like Von gets a sack in almost every key moment of the game that we've seen so far. Usually, he's lined up across from DeMarcus Ware. That's not going to be the case this week as Ware's going to be out with injury. But one thing that I thought was interesting was last time that Shaq Barrett started next to Von Miller, Barrett had a great game. Barrett, 4 tackles with a sack. Miller, 3 tackles, a sack, and a pass deflection. So it really doesn't matter who is lined up across from Von Miller. His goals are going to remain the same.
If I got up here and I said some of the stuff that I, you know, expected out of myself, I'm sure it would shock all of you guys, and it just wouldn't, you know, look right, you know. So my goals and my aspirations, I try to keep those to myself, and I just try to pick everybody else up around me to get those guys to play at a normal level that they wouldn't normally play at. And as far as accolades, it's only the second week. You know, the consistent guys, you know, get those honors. The consistent guys get those awards.
Next on Bengals Weekly.
This week, Vaughn tied Carl Mecklenburg for the franchise record for defensive AFC Defensive Player of the Weeks with three. Definitely in good company when it comes to the Denver Broncos history, already rewriting the record books.
And those Von Miller press conferences are something to watch. I mean, he talked about maybe trying to play quarterback this week. I know that he was joking about that, but Mace, he has high goals for himself, and you mentioned he's on a blistering pace. What do you think it is possible for him to get to this year?
Possible? I think it's possible for him to break the league single-season sack record. As audacious as that might sound, because you're talking about 22 sacks, I think he can get there if he stays healthy. Now, certainly, a big key is going to be what happens without DeMarcus Ware opposite him. You guys mentioned that Shaq Barrett, you know, he did very well working opposite Barrett, but Shane Ray is going to be the guy who starts. Now, Ray has really stepped up his game over the last year, particularly against the run. That's one reason why the Broncos can feel confident with him as a starter. But certainly, if you're the Bengals, if you're any team going against this pass rush, you're going to put a little more focus on Von Miller than Shane Ray, simply because, no offense to Shane Ray, he's not DeMarcus Ware. He doesn't have the kind of background, the kind of history of getting to the quarterback. So let's see what the Bengals do and if Shane Ray can capitalize off extra attention given to Von Miller. I could see Von Miller maybe having a game without a sack as teams adjust, but if Shane Ray goes out there today and has two sacks, then teams going forward are going to have to watch them equally, and then I think Von can get back on that pace.
Well, we know that Von Miller is going to be going up against his Texas A&M buddy, Cedric Agbuie here. He might need some extra help, though, in the backfield. We're getting a little bit closer to kickoff here. We'll have inactives in just a second. One guy who could be on that list, Justin Simmons, who hurt his wrist last week against the Colts, might have to go with a club here today against the Bengals.
If we're going to take it day by day throughout the week, and if need be, you know, just club it up, because, you know, I played with it for most of the game on Sunday, so we'll just see how it goes day by day, and, you know, evaluate it and see where I'm at. Yeah, I can't get any interceptions, man. You know, that's one thing you want to do. I mean, a good positive, though, is you can come down and, you know, you can still play the run and stop the run game, so works just as well.
Maybe some forced fumbles or something.
Yeah, exactly. You know, get some linemen off of you, things like that.
Justin Simmons, if he was going to play today, was going to go with that club, but it turns out he won't be going today. He's on the inactive list. Let's take a look at the list here. We see Austin Davis, Justin Simmons, Lorenzo Doss, Connor McGovern, Donald Stevenson we knew, Virgil Green we knew, and DeMarcus Ware. But Mace, the loss of Simmons here today, what is that going to have any kind of impact on the game, you think?
It's going to affect what the Broncos do in their sub-package, the nickel alignment dime personnel they like to use when they go with six defensive backs. So you could see a lot of Will Parks. You also could see Shiloh Kay, who's coming off the suspension. Of course, the Broncos let him go at the end of the suspension, but then brought him back this week in part because Justin Simmons did injure his wrist last week. So it'll be interesting to see what they do, but certainly a big loss for the secondary. Simmons had made a lot of progress in 2 weeks.
What kind of other things do you notice there? Of course, Connor McGovern's been on that list, and we know the three injured guys.
I think that, like we said earlier today, I think Stevenson's absence might have the biggest impact just because we don't know about the chemistry of that offensive line, how Schofield's going to react with Cimbrello, where Weems fits in it. We just don't know all of that yet. I think that's going to leave a huge question mark. And the other thing that we just touched on, DeMarcus Ware out. We knew that coming in. He was going to miss a significant chunk of time, but it'll be interesting to see how Shane Ray and Shaq Barrett both respond in his absence. Can they collectively make up that void?
And now it's time for our favorite part of the show. It's Andrew Mason's three keys to the game.
There you go.
Well, the first key, let's just get right into it. You've got to get better in the red zone. It's something that you've heard a lot from the Broncos this week. They are 27th in the league in percentage of possible points scored on their red zone series. And if you include the 30-yard line, the red zone is officially the 20-yard line. But if you go back to the 30, the Broncos have scored just 40 of a possible 84 points when crossing the opponent's 30-yard line. The Bengals aren't much better. In fact, they're a little bit worse in the red zone offense. They're 28th in terms of points scored per possible points. So Let's see what they do. Both the offense and defense have to get better. Number two, stop the run first. Yes, it's counterintuitive maybe when you're talking about a team that's so explosive in the passing game, A.J. Green capable of making so many plays, but the Bengals have won 8 straight and are 13-2-1 since Jeremy Hill joined Gio Bernard in the backfield. 13-2-1 when they rush for over 100 yards and average at least 4 yards a carry. That's something the Broncos are going to be on guard for. And by the way, one of those games, one of those 13 wins against the Broncos back in 2014. Finally, number three, protect the football and take it away. The Broncos end up getting the better of the turnover margin last week thanks to 2 fourth quarter takeaways. The Bengals, historically, one of the best teams at forcing takeaways. 1.83 per game under Marvin Lewis, who arrived in 2003. That's the 4th best in the league in that time span. They like to go in, try to get the football loose. Broncos have to be on guard for them making big plays. Again, go back to the 2014 game. Bengals takeaways were a difference. The Broncos need to avoid that today.
Mace, you mentioned protecting the ball. It's going to be key for the Broncos all day today. A degree of that is going to come on special teams, of course. And one guy who's having an extreme, extreme season on special teams is Cody Latimer, having a huge impact all across the field, whether it be covering punts or receiving kickoffs. Latimer's also having an even greater impact, though, on a young fan from Aurora. The class didn't see him sneak in for the surprise.
Hello, everybody. What's up, everyone? What's up, boy? You good? He said, let's go.
On Tuesday, Broncos wide receiver Cody Latimer stopped by Pine Ridge Elementary on his day off to support his buddy Carson Klein.
When I was in the hospital, Cody just randomly came.
Like today.
Latimer met Carson during a hospital visit last season while Carson was recovering from a surgical procedure on his spine. The two developed a bond which included Cody using Carson's signature pose after Latimer scored his first touchdown last year.
He ever does a pose for y'all? Y'all do the pose for him? You gotta do the pose for him, Carson. You gotta do the pose for him, man.
These days, Carson is back at school and doing well, which is why when Carson got a 98 on his math test, Cody knew it was time for a visit.
You know, his mom updates everything. So I said, she had posted this. I was like, you know, I think he deserves, you know, a visit from me in class. You know, I thought it would be cool, you know, coming into class and, you know, be able to sit with them and read and let him, you know, tell his story. And, you know, his classmates, you get to ask questions. I thought it would be something good, you know, something cool for him. And, you know, now he could be the man of the class.
I was really surprised that he came in. And I love him, man.
The trip included a question and answer session from the Broncos wide receiver.
How long have you played for the Broncos?
This is my 3rd season. Nice. Yeah, I'm getting old now. Just wait.
And then it was story time as Carson and Cody shared a book for the class.
And bundled in tight, said being the 3rd goddess.
Carson's a great kid, you know, and I mean, it was like the smile I see on his face when I walked into the hospital the first time. It was amazing.
In Aurora, I'm Matt Boyer for Broncos TV. We had a chance to catch up with Cody Latimer at the team hotel last night. He said he had a lot of family coming in. He's from just up the road in Dayton, Ohio. But it also seems like Carson is becoming a member of Cody's family very quickly. It's great to see the relationship that those two share off the field.
Yeah, that was definitely a very cute story. Anytime you get a surprise visitor at school, it's pretty cool, especially among your friends when Cody Latimer shows up. Very cool deal. Time now for our trivia answer. Remind you what the question was here. Trevor Siemian needs a win today against the Bengals to become the 3rd quarterback drafted by the Broncos to win his first start, or his first 3 starts in the NFL. Right. Who are the other two? Mace, I know Mace knows this answer.
I don't know it.
Craig Penrose, okay. 1976 and 78.
Okay.
And Brock Osweiler, of course, did that last year in 2015. Mace, why was Penrose across 2 different years?
Well, he was considered one possibility to be the quarterback of the future back in the mid to late 70s. You had Craig Penrose and you had Norris Weiss. Now, Weiss ended up nudging ahead of Penrose, but of course, the future never came for either of them. They would make some starts, but they brought in Craig Morton early in 1977. Morton beat out Steve Spurrier. Yes, that Steve Spurrier in 1977 training camp for the starting job. And although the Broncos tried to dislodge Morton for several years, he steadfastly hung on to the job until the 1982 season. That's why Craig Penrose's starting stint was short and sweet and divided by 1 season without a start, guys.
one magical season for the Broncos right there in 1977. Trevor Siemian, we don't know what the future holds for him, but he'll be making his first road start here today. Mace, your final thought here before we go.
Let's go back to the offensive line. Gary Kubiak has talked about the fact that you're going to see every offensive lineman who's active today play as part of the rotation. And we've talked about Darian Williams and, of course, Tyson Brillo, Michael Schofield. But James Ferentz is also active, and so he may get a look at guard at some point during the game. And that's very interesting because he really didn't start working at guard until this summer in training camp when they gave him some reps there in addition to what he does as the backup center behind Matt Paradis. So it'll be interesting to see if Ferentz gets a series or two at guard in his first time out there.
That offensive line will play a major role for Trevor Siemian. My final thought here, slow the game down for Trevor. We heard Carlos Dunlap, the Bengals defensive end, say, hey, we want to make Trevor Siemian beat us. We're not going to let C.J. Anderson, Devontae Booker, and those guys beat us. So we know the game's going to be on Trevor. If the Bengals, that's what they want. So slow things down for Trevor. Get it in some third and manageable situations. Try and run the ball.
Right.
Maybe set up some screen passes and just let him ease his way in, maybe take this crowd out of the game.
On the opposite side of the ball for me, I think that the no-fly zone is going to be a key component to this game. The Bengals haven't been able to run the ball very effectively the past 2 weeks. It might come down to the passing game. Of course, Tyler Eifert banged up. A.J. Green could play a significant role here. So the no-fly zone will have its work cut out for them here today. So looking forward to that matchup. But that'll do it for us here down on the field in Cincinnati. For Andrew Mason, Phil Milani, I'm Matt Boyer. Thank you for joining us on the BTV Live pregame show. Make sure to check out DenverBroncos.com after the game. Mace will have his reports, and we'll have ours from the locker room. But for now, we'll say goodbye and enjoy the game.
I guess I too much fun with you.
Has to be intercepted. It keeps the lead. To leave it 7-10. 5. Touchdown, Denver.
We're just having fun, you know. I mean, our whole goal is to get everybody the ball, spread it out, and get them in the end zone. I'm going to keep saying it all week. We just want to put the ball in the box. That's what it's about, putting the ball in the end zone.
C.J. Anderson has a Denver touchdown.
They're going to try to hit you hard. They're going to play hard. They're going to play all the way until the game ends. And we definitely got a battle ahead of ourselves. Like I said, it's all about getting into the playoffs and winning championships. And right now, we're on that path.
Luck in the pocket. It goes 5 Miller. Miller's got it. And the ball is free.
Every time we get together, it comes down to the last possession, last quarter. You know, we got a lot of respect for him as coaches and players. It's a tough place to play. We know it'll be rowdy. We'll have to play really, really well. We know that.
Oh!